They feel so good about themselves and who they are. But Lord, help us to see that before God, we're all sinners. And we all need salvation in Jesus Christ. May our hearts truly repent and believe in the only one that can forgive, and that is the Lord Jesus, who died on a cross for the sins of all the world. Bless us as we share your word today with this congregation. Lord, have your way in every heart, every life. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Why did Jesus come into this world? Is our topic for today. And there's a lot of reasons why he came, but I'm just going to talk about a few of them with you today. Our topic, our verse that we read, told us about our condition, that we all have sinned against God. And there's a need for Jesus Christ to come. And there's many reasons why he came. Today we want to discuss with you some of the important reasons. As we discuss this, think of the great loss we would have if Jesus had not came to take our place and pay our debt. I want you to think about that seriously. What if he hadn't came? What if God had not loved us? God was not obligated to us. Do we forget that sometime? God wasn't obligated to us. I'm disturbed that so many people are missing out on this blessing of God, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from our sin. First of all, let's talk about the love of God. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world of mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. Whoever would believe in Jesus Christ would not perish. But whoever doesn't believe in him will perish. That's what that Bible verse says. Jesus himself said that verse. We live in a world today where a lot of people feel unloved. There's a lot of people today feel unloved. I bet if you went down to the rest homes, hospitals, nursing homes, you'd find a lot of people there that feel like nobody cares about them. A lot of people like that. A lot of people in their own home like that. Did you know that? They don't feel anybody cares about them. But there is someone who loves them. There is someone that loves every person. And that is the Almighty God of heaven. God loves everyone. And God has proved his love. If men would just look to the cross and realize what that cross is all about. God's love for everyone was displayed at Calvary. That's where God proved he loved us. At Calvary. That old cross. Or at the songs that have been sang and written about that old cross, where God's love was displayed. God's love for all the world, because the cross was for every person, everywhere, so that all could be saved, that would just believe in him. God made it so that anybody could be saved. Just believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, because we have all sinned. God didn't put the bar up there where only some could reach it. God put it where whoever would believe. Whoever would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. Not whoever believes in God. Believing in God does not save a person. And there's a lot of people deceived with that. Jesus Christ is the Savior, not God per se. God is saving through His Son, His only Son. That whoever will believe in the Son, it's the Son dying. It's the Son shedding His blood. It's the Son taking our place. It's the Son paying our debt. And God is saying, now if you'll accept my Son, I'll accept you. Boy, isn't that something? You got to accept my Son for me to accept you, God says. That's where salvation is at. That's why Jesus Christ is so hated. Yeah, there's no greater love than the love of God. Did you know that? There's no greater love than the love of God. Oh, how could God love some people? Amen. Have you seen some people, you don't know how God could love them? But He does. He does. You know why God loves people that you and I might see that we don't see how anybody could love them? You know how God, why God could love them? Because He sees what sin did to them. And you know what? The truth is, we're in the same condition. What sin did to us. Sin made us unacceptable to God. That kind of goes against the grain, doesn't it? Sin made us unacceptable to God. God said, you can't come to my heaven. That's why God so loved the world. He sent His Son, His only Son, to take my place, pay my debt. And by His blood, and His blood only, can I be made acceptable to God. Boy, that's something to think about. We live in a proud world today, church. We live in a proud world today. And God hates it. God hates it. God's love is displayed for everyone at Calvary. And there's no greater love anywhere than the love of God. Yeah, man, we can really love others. We can really love our own. We can love one another, but there's no love like the love of God. God's love that would reach to a cross where His only Son would be treated like He was treated. No one has ever been treated like that before. No one has ever been, their soul was made an offering for sin. Their very soul. It weren't just His body mangled up, but His soul. The real person was made sin. And the wrath of God fell on Him. Because God loved you and I so much, He let His Son go through that. And then when you really study the Scriptures, it was God Himself on the cross. And our sin was so awful, it took God Himself to get rid of sin. No other man could do that, no matter how good a person they were. Our sin was so bad. We're so proud, but our sin was so bad, it took God to get rid of it. God's love for His enemies. We were His enemies. We were all rebelling against Him. I do what I want to do. I go where I want to go. And we see it displayed all the time today. You can't tell me what to do. Well, God's letting you do that. God's letting you do that. But one day you're going to have to stand before Him. Then the truth's going to come out. God loves His enemies. And He gives us time to see His cross with His Son on it. Gives us ample time, church, so we can consider my plight without Him forever. Whether we admit it or not, we're all sinners. But His love for us is so great, He set out to rescue us from our own sin and bring us into a loving relationship. Let me ask you something this morning, church. You love the Lord. Do you really love the Lord? You better be careful. Don't get in too deep now. Do you really love the Lord? You see what love He has for you? How He suffered for you? What are you doing for Him? You sacrificing for Him? Am I sacrificing for Him? Because He loved me so much, He sacrificed. This old book tells us we should sacrifice. It's when you give of yourself that you're showing your love for the Lord. 1 John 4:9. Might want to turn there in your Bible. It's so good. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we through Him might be saved. Wow. Wow. Boy, God's love has been proved by sending His Son so we could be saved. Sin has caused the problems and the hardships we face. Have you had any problems this past week? You had any disappointments this past week? You had any problems this past week? Sin's caused the problems that's in this world. You know, it's going to be quite a relief, church, when we get to heaven and there's no problems there. Amen? Won't that be something? You know what? We'll shout then. We don't want to shout too much now, do we? We got problems. But Jesus can deliver us day by day. Think back on your life as a believer. Just think back. Reflect back on your life at the hard times God has brought you through. Boy, when you were in the middle of it, you didn't know where you're going to make it or not. But think about the things God has brought you through. Boy, experience helps our faith. That's what the Bible teaches. Trials develops our faith. We see how God answers prayer. We see how God has kept us. We see how God has loved us. It ought to help us to trust Him more, love Him more, serve Him more because of who He is. You know, everybody knows they're going to die. Do you know you're going to die? But God wants us to live and live with Him forever. A believer, really, if you're a believer, you're not really going to die, though. You're just going to go to sleep. The Bible don't tell us Christians we're going to die. We're just going to go to sleep in the Lord. Our body's just going to sleep. And one morning it's going to wake up. Refresh, Brother Chavis. You won't come up in like this. Amen. Oh, no, folks. Our bodies is going to wake up one morning if they go to sleep. This morning. And, of course, every morning. I can be asleep so hard that you don't even know you're asleep because you're just rested. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, you wake up. And I lay there and I realize I'm still alive. Y'all ever do that? I'm still alive. And I swing off the bed and I say to myself, hey, you feel pretty good. Then faith says, do something. I don't feel good, amen. Just joking. Yes, sin causes us to face hardships, but Jesus delivers us. And we know we're going to die, but God wants us to live and live with Him forever. Yes, praise God. And He says, I'm going away, the Lord did, to prepare a place for you. And one day I'm going to come back and get you. Boy, that's going to be something, folks. When He comes and gets us, and we're not going to have any more problems. Amen. Because Jesus lives, we're going to live forever. Secondly, let's talk about this, why Jesus come. Jesus came to divide. Did you say that right, preacher? Yeah. Jesus came to divide people. Matthew 10:34. You might want to mark this verse because it's a verse. Think not I'm come to send peace on the earth, Jesus said. I didn't come to bring peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Oh, my goodness. Did y'all hear that? Jesus came to divide people. Did y'all know that? No. Jesus did not come to give peace on this earth. That might seem strange to some people to think Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to divide us, to separate us. Jesus came to make people make a decision. Did you know that? Jesus has made you make a decision. You're a decision for Him or against Him. Are you for Jesus? Amen? Amen. Amen. You either follow Jesus or you don't. You've made that decision about Jesus Christ. Everyone in this room this morning that's old enough to be accountable has made a decision about Jesus. There's no in between. You're either for or you're against. You can't say, well, I ain't made up my mind. No, if you've not made up your mind, you're against. There's no middle ground. You're either for or against Jesus. Every person makes their own choice. Just look at our world today, and you can clearly see people making their choice. You know, today's Sunday, right? The Lord's Day. Hey, I'm a Christian. The Lord said, don't forsake being in church. Right? Now, I wonder how many people right this second are down at Walmart's. Wonder how many people over at Lowe's and such places. They've made a choice. No one made them make that choice. They decided to make that choice. But we as believers in Jesus Christ are supposed to be in a Bible church to worship the Lord. We're not here just to come see one another. That's good. I love to see you. But we're here to hear the Word of God and praise the Lord and thank the Lord. He would save me. And we're here to learn about Him, learn how I can better serve Him, learn how I can let Him use me to cause others to know God loves them too. Jesus knows whose are His people. Did you know that? Listen to this verse in John chapter 10. Boy, you ought to go to this chapter. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We're called sheep. We're God's sheep. We're the Lord's little flock. Amen? He died for us. He died to protect us, to save us, to rescue us. And then in verse 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. He knows which one belongs to Him. Does He know you belong to Him? And I'm known of mine. Do you know the Lord then? Amen? Yes. Jesus knows those that belong to Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:35, For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Don't you know people like that today? Even their own family can't get along together. Amen? Oh, these people, brothers and sisters, won't even talk to one another. There's some that won't even talk to their parents. And we're seeing a lot today where parents are killing their children and children are killing their parents and brothers are killing their brothers. We got an epidemic of that today in our country. People divided. Jesus came to divide people. One parent goes to one church and the other stays home. Children are not being taught about Jesus because of their parents. Well, I just let them make their own decision when they get old enough. Hey, the Bible says the parents are responsible to teach their children about the Lord. You think about the parents on Judgment Day that don't take their children to church. That's going to be a sad day, isn't it, brother? You think about something sadder than that when the parents see their children in hell with them. They're in hell together, all of them. You know why? Jesus divided them. They didn't want Him. You know what about, you know about a little child? You know them two little youngers right back over there? They're right at the age now to learn to love Jesus. And children love Jesus. I remember when I was like that little boy back there. I remember when I was in the card room class and the teacher was telling us about Jesus. I remember today how warm my heart was about Jesus. You know why that is? Because their heart hadn't got hard by sin. They're young. That's the reason they need to be in church. That's the reason they need to be in church. And pearls won't bring them. They won't bring them. And they're going to, many of them, rise up and go to hell. Let's talk about something else why Jesus came. He came to give eternal life.
Amen.
Praise God. I like that one too, brother.
Yes, sir.
He came to give eternal life. He not only came to show the love of God, he not only came to divide, he came to give eternal life.
Yes, sir.
We're living in a dying world.
Yes, sir.
I saw a wreath on a door yesterday, I believe it was, somewhere. Someone passed away. Praise God. In heaven, there's not going to be any wreaths on the door. In John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, Jesus said. Great day in the morning, folks. Y'all know what a statement that is. Eternal life means forever. Can y'all imagine living forever with no problems? The other day, Faye was paying our taxes. And then a day or two later, she's paying our insurance, house insurance. Then you get a bill from Verizon. And then there's a bill for this. Praise God, we're going to heaven. We're not going to have any of that stuff. Amen? I mean, the taxes they can put on a house no bigger than her house, and the price of insurance on a house like her house. I wonder, how do these people that's got these $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 houses, how do you ever pay the taxes and the insurance on them? Somebody's getting audacious salaries somewhere. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I like that part too. Neither shall any man take them out of my hand. Amen. I like that part too. Eternal life. Never perish. And nobody can get me from Jesus. Amen. I'm going to have a Baptist fit here in a minute. Listen. And it's free, folks. It's free. Is there a greater promise? Is there a greater gift than eternal life? Life? Living forever in paradise? Listen, living in paradise. There's not going to be any gnats nor mosquitoes. Amen? In John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We're going to live forever just because I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, because I know I'm a sinner and I'm lost. And he's going to give me all this just for accepting him. You can't beat a deal like that, folks. You cannot beat a deal like that. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Think about this. God has always existed. Well, how long ago was it God? Forever. And God is going to always exist. And God has not changed from when in eternity past. He's always been the same. You can't go back and find a starting point for God because He's always existed. And you can't find a time when God's going to cease to exist. And there's not going to come along something big enough to dethrone God. Amen. Satan tried it and failed. Sorry thing. Amen. Got no shadow. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2:26. Well, before I get there, let me say this. Jesus came to give eternal life to all who would believe in Him. To believe in Jesus is more than just a head knowledge. To believe in Jesus is to accept Him into your heart and allow Him to control your life. He's in control. You know, Jesus is not just our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Master. Amen? He's the head of the church. True believers should go to a Bible church and support the work of the Lord. Begin a prayer life and learn how to live for the Lord. We're to live by the teachings of the Bible, living by faith. That means we need to be in the Bible to learn what the Bible says. Let's talk about something else why Jesus came. I'm just touching on these subjects because of time. Fourth reason Jesus came was to defeat sin's power. Woo, ain't that wonderful? You read Romans chapter 6. We'll be getting into that one of our prayer meetings not for too long. Romans chapter 6. That particular chapter tells you about how we can resist sin. Resist sin. Hebrews 9:26, for then must He often have suffered since the foundations of the world. He, Jesus. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus came and put away sin. What does that mean, preacher? Well, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He satisfied God about sin. The sin debt's been paid, and God is satisfied. That's why when you accept Jesus, God is satisfied with you. Because the sin debt's paid. And God has allowed it by faith that what Jesus accomplished can be credited to us. By faith. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. No one else could deal with it. Jesus came into the world to put away sin. And He has put it away for those who trust Him. And that's why when you go to the judgment seat of Christ to be judged at the rapture of the church, you're not going to be dealing with, the Lord's not going to be dealing with you concerning sin. There's not going to be any sin mentioned. Why? Jesus paid for all your sins. What He's going to deal with you and me is how faithfully we serve Him after He saved us. How well did we serve Him? What did we do for Him? And then He'll reward us accordingly. In 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Jesus, Peter said, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Our sins was put on Christ, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Our soul has been healed already, church. Your soul is already as healed as it's going to ever be. It's our body that hadn't been redeemed yet. But our soul is already redeemed. But this body's going to be redeemed on resurrection morning, when we get a glorified body without a sin nature. When Jesus was on the cross, all of our sins was transferred to Him. He took our place, paid our sin debt, so God would see no guilt of sin in us. And God arranged it that this could happen just by believing, by faith, so that anybody could be saved. God has put the bar down low so anybody can be saved. Just believe on Jesus Christ. God's not made it hard for people to believe. It's not because we were good that God did this. God didn't owe us anything. We were His enemies. But God knew we were helpless, and He still loved us. So Jesus came and satisfied God by volunteering to take our place and pay our debt. Jesus volunteered to do this. What love, folks! Yeah, Jesus broke sin's power. Now we can live for God. Fifthly, let's talk about this briefly. Jesus came to defeat Satan also. Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." Jesus become a man. God become a man. "That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. Jesus broke Satan's power when He died on the cross. But one of these days He's going to throw the old rascal into the lake of fire. Amen? Jesus had to leave heaven and come into this world to take care of our sin problem. Jesus was God in a human body because only God could put away sin. In Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places," Paul said in Ephesians 6:12. The reason we struggle, have problems and setbacks, is because of the powers of darkness that's in this world. The forces of demonic forces coming against you and me. There's tremendous demonic forces trying to stop us, keeping us from being effective and useful. But that youngin ain't going to outshout me. Amen? In 2 Timothy 2:26, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." See, the devil's got people who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil can just walk up to somebody and take them. Did y'all know that? If they're not saved, the devil just takes them. And a person that's not saved can have demons entering into them at any time. Yeah. Satan is one who has the power of death, and Jesus came to defeat him. Satan took over when he got Adam to eat forbidden fruit, when Eve got him to eat that forbidden fruit, folks. In 2 Timothy 1:10, "But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It is through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are going to be rescued from death and eternal separation from God. Praise God. Satan's power has been broken. He's defeated. The devil's a loser. And yet most people in the world are serving him and serving his purposes. And they don't even know it. Don't even know it. Only the gospel can save a soul from the devil's clutches. And I like what Paul said in Romans. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to them that believe. And that's the only way to be saved, is by the power of the gospel. You got to believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one last reason why Jesus came. In John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I have laid down my life that I might take it again. Jesus Christ came to defeat death. Death will not be the victor. Death will be defeated. Look at the cemeteries in the world, the graveyards. They might even be dead people that were on this church lot that we don't even know about. But they're all going to be raised one day. Everyone that's ever died is going to be raised. Jesus came into this world to die, and to die for me and for you. And that by dying, he was going to defeat death. He was going to conquer death. He was going to break death's power, church. Boy, ain't that something to think about? Our loved ones, that death has claimed them. Death's going to have to let them go. And they're going to come up. Praise God. The disciples didn't understand, and they resisted Jesus when he said, I got to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. They didn't like that. They tried to keep him from going, but he went. In Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice from the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said so, he gave up the ghost. He dismissed his own spirit from his body and laid his own life down. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. He was as dead as a doornail, as that old saying is. He was dead. And they took him down, and they put him in a barred tomb. But on Sunday morning, like he said, he got up to live forever. He got up of his own volition. Praise God. Can you imagine? He was a dead man laying there, and yet he got up. Amen? Now, Paul had to lay down on that man that fell out of the window when he was preaching. I see none of y'all hadn't fell out yet. Amen? And that man came back to life. Hey, but Jesus was just laying there in a cold tomb, and he just stepped out of the grave, conquering death by himself. What a God! What a Savior! This conquered death, folks. The Bible says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. So Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, put Jesus' body in his own tomb. And he stayed there a part of 3 days and three nights. And then on resurrection morn, Jesus got the victory over death. and how shocked the devil was on that day. Amen. The Bible says, "And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, he's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth forth unto you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." Folks, I don't know what you believe. I hope you believe like I believe. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And I believe Jesus arose from the dead. And I believe Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And I believe Jesus Christ is going to come and get us all one day. And we're going to go live with him forever. And if you don't know him, if you'll believe in him, he'll save you. And you can live with him too. And it's the mission of the church of Jesus Christ. It is the mission of the church to get out this message that others might know Jesus Christ loves them, died for them, will save them if they'll call on him. Loving God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Bless your word to the hearts of your people. Encourage them. Challenge them. Lord, bless them. Use them. And for your great and holy name's sake, we pray. Amen and amen. We invite you to the altar this morning. Come and praise the Lord that he would die for you when we were helpless, that he would come and take our place.